Good evening. Welcome to the City of Champaign Township meeting for June 1st, 2021. I call the meeting to order and I'd ask the clerk to please call the roll.
Board Member Fulmer?
Here.
Gladney?
Present.
Enriquez?
Here.
Kyles?
Here.
Pianfetti?
Here.
Williams?
Here.
Beck?
Here.
Bruno?
Here.
Chairperson Finan?
I am also here. We've got minutes.
Madam Mayor, or Chairperson Finan, I move that we approve and put on file the minutes of the regular board meeting held May 4th, 2021.
Second.
Is there any discussion of the minutes? Seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
Board Member Fulmer?
Yes.
Gladney?
Yes.
Enriquez?
Yes.
Kyles?
Yes.
Pianfetti?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Beck?
Yes.
Bruno?
Yes.
Chairperson Finan?
Yes. The minutes are approved. Do we have any correspondence, Supervisor?
We have none, Your Honor.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is the public hearing. The purpose of this public hearing is that Illinois state law requires that the City of Champaign Township hold a public hearing on its proposed fiscal year 2021-2022 annual budget prior to adoption of the annual budget in final form. In accordance with these state legal requirements, a notice of public hearing, City of Champaign Township annual budget, was published in the News Gazette on Sunday, April 28th, 2021, and copies of the proposed fiscal year 2021 to 2022 annual budget were placed on file in the Finance Department and at the Township offices on Monday, April 30th, 2021. I now declare this public hearing open. If you desire to make any statement concerning the proposed fiscal year 2021-2022 annual budget at the Township, you are welcome to come forward and be recognized. Is there anyone who wishes to discuss the township budget? Seeing none, I now hereby declare this public hearing closed. The township trustees will act upon the proposed fiscal year 2021-2022 annual budget during the June 1st, 2021 township meeting. And we need to hand that down to the city clerk, please. You've got it. Okay. The next item on our agenda is an ordinance. I'm sorry, summary of expenditures. We need a motion to accept and place on file.
Chairperson Finan, I move that we approve and put on file the summary of expenditures for April 2021.
Second.
Are there any comments or questions? Supervisor, do you have any?
Nothing remarkable, Your Honor.
Okay. Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to address this issue? Seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
Board Member Fulmer?
Yes.
Gladney?
Yes.
Enriquez?
Yes.
Kyles?
Yes.
Pianfetti?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Beck?
Yes.
Bruno?
Yes.
Chairperson Finan?
Yes. That is approved and placed on file. We've got an ordinance.
So I move, I'm actually not sure how to move this ordinance. I move that we put on file the budget and appropriation ordinance of 2021-0601.
Second.
Okay, there's a second. Supervisor Kornstrom, did you want to speak to that?
Your Honor, as you all remember, we had a brief presentation on this last month. There's been no public comment over the last 30 days while it's been both posted here on our website as well as at the township. And so this budget is what was presented last month.
Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to address this? Seeing none, is there any town board comment? All right. So if we could just vote to place it on file for the second time, I guess.
Board Member Fulmer?
Yes.
Gladney?
Yes.
Enriquez?
Yes.
Kyles?
Yes.
Pianfetti?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Beck?
Yes.
Bruno?
Yes.
Chairperson Finan?
Yes, that is placed on file. We are now at the point of our meeting for audience participation on township issues. If anyone wishes to address the council sitting at the as the town board, please step forward. Seeing none, any town board member comments? I see none. Township supervisor.
Your Honor, I just have a few brief announcements. We've reached capacity with our COVID housing funds, and so for those keeping tally, we've provided right around $500,000 in COVID mortgage rental and utility assistance. We're working with some partner agencies to try to receive more funds. We also have funds that will be available, assuming the eviction moratorium is lifted. We have money that couldn't be used during the moratorium, but can be used post-moratorium. So we're continuing to provide that assistance, but we've used most of those funds. For those of you that have been able to go to the farmers market at the city of Champaign, our township crew, the See at Work crew has been there selling fresh vegetables, and so that's been very exciting. It's been very successful so far this year. Speaking of Prosperity Gardens, we're working with an architect. We've got some tentative drawings, and we're working on grants to remodel the old police evidence building on First Street where Prosperity Gardens currently sits. That's in dire need, of course, of renovation, and we've got some really unique ideas and concepts. Just a couple more things. Many of you know that See You at Home paused operations recently, or at least some of their operations. The City of Champaign Township, as well as our caseworkers, work closely with the City of Champaign and other partner agencies to try to provide the assistance needed for many of those men and women that found themselves without shelter. And I would be remiss not to give kudos to Carrie Wyman and Neighborhood Services and their crew, because they were a great lead. And so it was great to work with them. We provided the assistance, and we really had some great success stories, including permanently housing a few of those men at the shelter. And lastly, many of you have heard, the public's been very vocal about us having applications available online in both Spanish and French. And so we have now all of our applications online in Spanish, and we're working on French translation as well. So I'm very excited about that. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next meeting is July 6th, 2021, and I need a motion to adjourn, please.
So moved.
Second.
Is there any discussion? Will clerk, please call the roll.
Board Member Fulmer?
Yes.
Gladney?
Yes.
Enriquez?
Yes.
Kyles?
Yes.
Pianfetti?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Beck?
Yes.
Bruno?
Yes.
Chairperson Finan?
Yes. We are adjourned into our Champaign City Council meeting for June 1st, 2021. I call this meeting to order. I'd ask you to join me in a moment of silence for Officer Oberheim, and I am going to ask Deputy Mayor Kyles to lead us in a short prayer.
Lord, as we remember Officer Oberheim, we remember one of his favorite verses, "Blessed are the peacemakers." As we pray for his life, his family, we want to take the time to thank you for the impact and the things that you have blessed him to do for others. Those memories will not be forgotten. And as we carry on as a community, Father God, we ask that you just lead us, guide us, help us to find that healing. As we search for it, God, we pray that you give us the patience with each other, the ability to love one another, the ability to be kind to one another, the ability to help one another. Lead us and guide us in that process. For you said, "Blessed are the peacemakers," and we'll be better for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
To pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
please call the roll?
Councilmember Fulmer?
Here.
Gladney?
Present.
Enriquez?
Here.
Kyles?
Here.
Pianfetti?
Here.
Williams?
Here.
Beck?
Here.
Bruno?
Here.
Mayor Finan?
Here. I don't believe we have any special recognitions. We have minutes.
Madam Mayor, I move that we approve and put on file the following minutes. From April 27th, 2021, regular study session. From May 4th, 2021, regular council meeting. And from May 4th, 2021, post-council study session.
Second.
Is there any discussion or corrections? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Councilmember Fulmer?
Yes.
Gladney?
Yes.
Enriquez?
Yes.
Kyles?
Yes.
Pianfetti?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Beck?
Yes.
Bruno?
Yes.
Mayor Finan?
Yes, the minutes are approved for all three items. Do we have any correspondence?
We have none, Your Honor.
We have no public hearings for the City Council. Will you please call the first bill?
Council Bill Number 2021-066, a resolution honoring the memory of Officer Christopher Oberheim and designating a portion of University Avenue as Honorary Christopher Oberheim Avenue.
So moved.
Second.
The purpose of this council bill is to recognize the sacrifice and honor the memory of the City of Champaign Police Department Officer Christopher Oberheim. This council bill will designate University Avenue between Neal Street and Chestnut Street as Honorary Christopher Oberheim Avenue. And I'm going to ask the council members to please read the resolution.
Whereas the Champaign City Council recognizes those brave and dedicated law enforcement officers who, in their efforts to serve and protect their fellow citizens, daily put their lives on the line in carrying out their duties. And whereas City of Champaign Police Officer Chris Oberheim was an outstanding law enforcement officer, and the members of this council are saddened by his tragic loss, and
whereas City of Champaign Police Officer Chris Oberheim lost his life in the line of duty in service to the residents of Champaign on May 19th, 2021, and whereas Officer Chris Oberheim started his career with the Decatur Police Department in 2000, serving there with distinction for 7 years, and
whereas Officer Chris Oberheim continued his service by joining the Champaign Police Department in September of 2008, and whereas during the following 13 years, Officer Chris Oberheim received 2 Medals of Valor for courageous acts of selfless bravery and other departmental awards demonstrating his exemplary career, and
whereas throughout the course of his career, he earned the admiration of this council, the city administration, his superior officers, his peers, and the people he protected, and answered the call to serve the public. And whereas Officer Chris Oberheim served with pride as a patrol officer and a member of the Special Weapons and Tactics SWAT team. And
whereas Chris Oberheim was deeply devoted to his family and was proud of their accomplishments. And whereas Chris Oberheim will be greatly missed by his beloved wife, Amber Oberheim, his 4 daughters, Avery, Addison, Aubrey, and Hannah, parents Ted and Marianne Oberheim, siblings Greg with spouse Michelle, Amy Matt with spouse Jennifer, Joe with spouse Chelsea, and Sarah with spouse Jason, and
whereas Officer Chris Oberheim has left behind a legacy of integrity in his career as a law enforcement officer, humility and loyalty in his private life, and dedication in all his chosen endeavors. And whereas Officer Chris Oberheim possessed a great love for his community and his work, and he carried out his duties with the greatest passion and devotion, and
whereas it is appropriate that the members of the Champaign City Council should join loved ones and fellow officers in remembering the life of this courageous officer and devoted family man who gave his life in the furtherance of public safety and welfare. And
whereas on August 7th, 2018, in Council Bill Number 2018-123, the City Council amended the council policy for honorary street name designation to recognize city employees who lose their lives in the line of duty And whereas, under City Council policy, honorary street names for any city employee who lost their life in the line of duty shall be assigned to such blocks as designated by the City Council. Such designations shall be for an indefinite term.
Now, therefore, be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Champaign, Illinois, as follows. That the City Council does hereby honor the memory of the City of Champaign Police Officer Christopher Oberheim, who lost his life while serving as a member of the City of Champaign Police Department. That each member of the City Council does express deepest sympathy and offer condolences to the family of Officer Chris Oberheim and his fellow officers and colleagues. That pursuant to the City Council policy with respect to honorary street name designations, University Avenue between Neal Street and Chestnut Street is hereby designated as Honorary Christopher Oberheim Avenue. That the city clerk is hereby directed to send a copy, certified copy of this resolution to the Oberheim family, the Champaign Police Department, and the acting public works director. With that, are there any technical questions from council? Seeing none, is there anyone in the audience who wishes to address the council? Please step forward, state your name and city of residence, and please limit your comments to 5 minutes or less.
Mark Medlin, Champaign, Illinois. In 2017, the state of Illinois, at my behest and work, erected the Robert Tapman sign on I-72. This was in response to Councilmember Bruno and his backing of an ordinance which removed the Tapman and Dodsworth signs after 10 years of their installation. Officers Tapman and Dodsworth were killed in the line of duty for the City of Champaign. When I asked Councilmember Bruno why this was being done, why did we no longer honor Officers Tapman and Dodsworth, his response was chillingly unsympathetic. No one needs to be memorialized forever. When I reminded him that these men died in service to their community, he replied that it did not matter. A few weeks later, the city replaced a Burnham's Nurses sign at 4th and Stoughton at the behest of Councilmember Dodds. Great laughter as the council changed a word in the sign that now honored the nurses with a different sign. It was galling to me that this occurred at the same time that the sign for Tapman and Dodsworth were taken down. It was then that I planned my response. I had a sign erected at a place the city had no control nor say over. So when you travel down I-72, remember how and why that sign is there. It is to honor a man whose children are still alive today because this city refused to do so. In 2018, at my behest, Councilmember Stock revisited this issue and had the signage ordinance replaced. Now those individuals who died in the performance of their job will be forever memorialized. Edward Hoffman, who died fighting a house fire, has a street named after him, while no CPD officers are so honored. I understand that developers can pick and choose their names. After all, Coral Cove or Apple Falls has a much more appealing name than Dodsworth, Tapman, and now Oberheim can be for a developer. This city does so little for those who are murdered in the line of duty. Even the Tapman and Dodsworth stickers that the retirees put together have been replaced on the squad cars after the cars have been removed from service. With great fanfare, the city will display the Oberheim sticker in a few months. And then when the car is sold, it will be gone forever. It is time that the city does more than honor another, that add another star to its patch. It is time that this city remembers its fallen officers daily, whether it was in 1913, 1967, or today. We have heard the cry over the past year, remember her name, remember her name. Well, I do remember her name. It was Breanne. She was 22. And was on the job for about a year when she was murdered at a domestic in Indianapolis. I ran into her partner at the USO a year ago. and talked with him, not realizing who he was. The image of that young man's haunting still bothers me to this day. Brienne left behind a child of two and her parents, including her mother, who was the dispatcher when the shooting occurred. It is time that this city begins to realize the sacrifices that men and women make daily to protect us. Yesterday, and in the past 5 days, five law enforcement officers have lost their lives in the United States of America. This is a small tribute to someone who deserves our thanks and our memories for a job well served. But finally, where do we go from here? It is time that we face reality, that CPD is vastly understaffed, that the rumors of 35 to 37 people below staffing are either confirmed or denied. If we are, this is this city council's responsibility to make sure that the men and women of the Champaign Police Department and the cities of Champaign, the citizens of the city of Champaign, have the protection which they are afforded to have. Now, I would love to sit and listen to Councilmember Bruno's sage remarks that he usually makes after a presentation, but quite frankly, I've been up since 4:30. I just got back from an 18-mile bike ride. I am exhausted. So with your permission, I will leave. Next May 21st, while all of you are asleep in bed, myself and a few others are going to wake up. And go to the 2100 block of North Neal and remember a man whose family he kissed on their cheek, on their foreheads, and then went off, never returned. I don't forget Dodsworth, Tapman, and now Oberheim. I hope this is the last time I ever have to do this. But with the way that the United States is today, we'll be back to honor another officer. There is no doubt. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Seeing no one else, are there any council comments? All right. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Councilmember Fulmer?
Yes.
Gladney?
Yes. Yes.
Enriquez?
Yes.
Kyles?
Yes.
Pianfetti?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Beck?
Yes.
Bruno?
Yes.
Mayor Finan?
Yes. Council bill passes 9-0. Please call the next council bill.
Council bill number 2021-67, an ordinance approving emergency orders and extending council bill 2020-22 related to the COVID-19 emergency.
So moved.
Second.
This council bill will approve the continuation of the council bill 2020-22, an ordinance related to emergency created by the impact of the COVID-19 virus, as modified by the new extension ordinance until the first regular council meeting in July, unless it is amended or repealed by the city council before that date. The emergency ordinance would also be repealed upon the date of entry into phase 5 of the state's emergency plan. The council bill would also approve the continuance of various emergency orders as detailed on Exhibit A to the council bill. Most orders provide increased flexibility related to business operations. Are there any technical questions? Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to address this issue? Seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
Councilmember Fulmer?
Yes.
Gladney?
Yes.
Enriquez?
Yes.
Kyles?
Yes.
Pianfetti?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Beck?
Yes.
Bruno?
Yes.
Mayor Finan?
Yes. Council bill passes 9-0. Please call the next bill.
Council bill number 2021-68. An ordinance delaying the automatic increase in minimum fines.
So moved.
Second.
The purpose of this council bill is to delay the effective date of the automatic $10 increase in the minimum fines that would otherwise go into effect on July 1 for nearly all ordinance violations until further council action. Are there any technical questions? Anyone in the audience wish to address this issue? Please step forward, state your name and city of residence, and please limit your comments to 5 minutes or less. And clerk, I will ask you to start our clock.
My name is Eddie Pratt Jr. I am a resident of Champaign, have been since 2014. So I just got off of work not too long ago, and I was really eager to see what was going to be on the agenda tonight. And when I looked through the fines, I want to specifically key in on the cannabis-related part of those fines. Why do we have them? That's the question. Why do we have them? In a state that is legal for recreational use, why are we using our police as Gestapo against people who are not vetted in this new economy that has been created in the state of Illinois? In a month of March, it was somewhat about $109 million made by the state in marijuana sales. How much money was spent imprisoning people for having marijuana, be it outside of a dispensary-made container or maybe, quite possibly, and if we're going to be honest, it's the absolute truth in this system where people can't afford to pay all of their bills from their jobs and they have no choice but to go outside of the law and sell something, a plant that we all know recreationally does no real damage, that they need to utilize as a side hustle to pay for their child care, to pay for their light bill, that we are looking at this slate of fines. These things should be completely and utterly abolished, and nothing short. Anything else is proliferating from the people. Who owns these dispensaries? We know who they are, and most of them, look at the consensus of the people here. They look like you. They don't look like me. Are we not gonna talk about privilege and what that really amounts to? It amounts to things like this. So me as a black man, sure, I'm free to smoke on the streets of Illinois as long as I'm in my house anyway. But if I put that in a bag, if I put that in a sandwich bag or something, it's illegal. It's $200 at least. But with that $200 comes what? My loss of income, because I'm going to lose my job. And then what comes next? An eviction notice, and then what comes next? An extremely hard choice comes next. Do you wait for an economy that is struggling to get back to some sense of normalcy, or do you do what you gotta do to feed your family, to feed your kids, to handle your responsibilities? You tell me that any one of you, if you're put in that position, that you wouldn't do that. The fact that we even have these things are criminal. And I implore you to take a second and search yourself and think, is this really right? Is this really just? No matter if it makes the city money, I don't care if you're here to handle the city's business. If the business of the city is not to help the people, to represent the people, then what is the purpose, right? So I look forward to possibly at some point maybe a discussion about eliminating these things. I mean, it's not completely decriminalized, right? You can still be subject to being barred from employment for having it in your system, right? You can still end up homeless because of it, right? Let's eliminate these obstacles. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to address the council? Council comment? Councilmember Iniguez.
Yes, just to address the gentleman and asking if any of us have ever been in that position. I actually have been in that position at a certain point in time in my life, and I completely agree that the unequal application of the law when it comes to things like this is definitely something that I obviously can't have done in 4 weeks in terms of addressing it, but I completely understand where you're coming from. I've been there. I've had to do things that were not the best thing for me to do at the time because of my situation. So I completely understand that, and I respect what you're saying.
Anyone else? Will the clerk please call the roll?
Councilmember Fulmer?
Yes.
Glatney?
Yes.
Iniguez?
Yes.
Kyles?
Yes.
Pianfetti?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Beck?
Yes.
Bruno?
Yes.
Mayor Finan?
Yes, council bill passes 9-0. Please call the next bill.
Council Bill number 2021-69, an ordinance amending sections 5-26, 5-29.2, 5-29.3, 5-32, 5-35, and 5-57 of the Champaign Municipal Code 1985 as amended.
So moved.
Second.
The purpose of this council bill is to amend Chapter 5 of the Municipal Code, which is the city's liquor ordinance. This amendment would allow for the continued sale of to-go mixed drinks and cocktails if the state legislature extends the current expiration date of June 2nd, 2021, and would mirror state law to allow for the delivery of alcohol in its original packaging for all city liquor licenses that hold a state retail liquor license. Are there any technical questions? Anyone in the audience wish to address this issue? Council comment? I would just note that the legislation has passed both houses and hasn't yet been signed by the governor, but it is anticipated that it will be. We, as a reminder to our license holders who have a state license as well, there may be a lag time in there where it's not legal, so they need to be paying attention to when the legislation gets signed. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Councilmember Fulmer?
Yes.
Glatney?
Yes.
Iniguez?
Yes.
Kyles?
Yes.
Pianfetti?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Beck?
Yes.
Bruno?
Yes.
Mayor Finan?
Yes. Council bill passes 9-0. Please call the next bill.
Council bill number 2021-70. A resolution authorizing the mayor to sign a joint resolution of support for additional Amtrak funding to support expanded train service to Champaign.
So moved.
Second.
The purpose of the council bill is to authorize the mayor to sign a joint resolution of support for increased federal funding for Amtrak to allow it to add train service from Chicago to Carbondale, stopping at the Illinois terminal. Are there any technical questions? Anyone in the audience wish to address this issue? Council comments? Councilmember Bruno.
This is a great idea, and I'm glad I'm glad that we're signing on to this resolution. Amtrak service to our community is vital for our community's economy and transit. The economy's going to bounce back and people are going to want to travel again. And the folks in Champaign ought to be able to hop on a train to get safely and quickly to parts north and south. And we can't emphasize this enough. Probably won't have true high-speed rail in my lifetime, but we can at least have the robust number of trains that anyone else in the world would expect in a community of this size. It's woefully insufficient, and it's a good idea now to strike while the iron is hot and try to get additional Amtrak service for our community.
Anyone else? Please call the roll.
Councilmember Fulmer?
Yes.
Gladney?
Yes.
Enriquez?
Yes.
Kyles?
Yes.
Pianfetti?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Beck?
Yes.
Bruno?
Yes.
Mayor Finan?
Yes. Council bill passes 9-0. Please call the last bill.
Council bill number 2021-71, an ordinance amending sections 30-544, 30-545, 30-547, 30-548, 30-549, and 5-31.1, and adding sections 30-550, 30-551, and 30-552 to the Champaign Municipal Code 1985 as amended.
So moved.
Second.
The purpose of this council bill is to codify the expansion of sidewalk cafe permit premises for public and private property for the remainder of 2021. Are there any technical questions? Anyone in the audience wish to address this issue? Any council comments? I just want to thank staff. This is in response to our businesses who were trying to make plans for the summer without knowing whether which phase we would be in the Illinois recovery plan, and this allows them to continue to use the additional space to hopefully have a more robust year than they had last year and kind of get us through the end of the year with the status quo in place. So thank you for getting this done so quickly so that they could plan and move forward for the summer. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Councilmember Fulmer?
Yes.
Gladney?
Yes.
Enriquez?
Yes.
Kyles?
Yes.
Pianfetti?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Beck?
Yes.
Bruno?
Yes.
Mayor Finan?
Yes. Council bill passes 9-0. We're now at the point for general audience participation. If you wish to address the council, please step forward, state your name, city of residence, and please limit your comments to 5 minutes or less.
Robert Michael Doyle, I live in Round Barn Manor. I'm so happy I don't do Zoom. I would have been here sooner had you been live sooner when the new members were seated. So I've been involved with City of Champaign and other local governments at 75 on behalf of gay rights. And I am so happy to see this council. And I haven't even met the new one yet. Anyway, I just wanted to comment on that. I could tell a lot of history, but I'm not going to bore you with that tonight. You want to go home. Oh, and I was so pleased to see all of you here. So, thank you.
Happy Pride Month. And you know we do our resolution in September to correspond with Pride in Champaign. Please step forward, state your name and city, and limit your comments to 5 minutes or less.
Good evening. My name is Leslie Krause. I'm a lifelong resident of Champaign. I actually spoke to the city council a couple years ago regarding a recommendation to amend the human rights ordinance to add gender identity and gender expression and to change the language of sexual preference to sexual orientation. And so I just, as a lifelong resident of the city, obviously, I'm very proud of our city for being proactive in its leadership and its stance toward equality for all citizens. And when it adopted City Council Bill number 2020-112 last November, I didn't have an opportunity to approach you in person due to the COVID-19 restrictions, of course. So this is very timely with June 1st being the first reconvening of the City Council and also being the LGBT Pride Month. So I just wanted to thank you again. It was also actually very timely. The passage of the council bill being last year was the 50th anniversary of Pride in the United States. The Stonewall riots occurred in 1969, and then the Gay Liberation March took place in Chicago Los Angeles and New York City, 1970. So the passage of that council bill being last year on the 50th anniversary really means a lot to me as an LGBTQ advocate. So I just wanted to thank you once again and express my gratitude that I can be part of a community that truly celebrates inclusion and diversity for people from all walks of life. Thank you once again and happy Pride.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Please state your name and city of residence.
Hello, my name is Brian Dunn from Champaign, Illinois. It's great to be here, and I'm super happy that individuals who aren't, you know, great at Zoom are able to be in the building to address city council. And I know in the last year there have been many instances of people trying to address city council on Zoom. They were unable to because of technical difficulties. But I don't think it has to be one or the other. In my research, I have seen dozens of municipalities who have incorporated hybrid models where they incorporate Zoom as well as in-person city council meetings, and I think that would be a great benefit to our community. There's just a lot of accessibility issues with finding parking. You know, these seats are not comfortable. People have responsibilities, kids, and you know, I'm somebody with an irritable bowel disease, and there have been many times where I have addressed city council from the toilet, and that's not something that I would be able to do in this format. And so there's just a million reasons why I hope that the city council will put priority to incorporating a hybrid model where we can still use Zoom, but then also have the in-person meetings. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to address the council? Please step forward, state your name and city of residence, and please limit your comments to 5 minutes or less.
Hi again, I'm Eddie Pratt Jr., resident of Champaign. So not too long ago, what I talked about was mostly problems that we have and how those things come about, right? So one thing I want to talk about is solutions. And so for marginalized folks and other folks who are underserved in this community or don't have the ability to grab jobs in areas where they would be able to have a income that would sustain their ability to survive, right? So the SWIFT program is something that I see as a very beautifully laid out program, though still in its pilot. $1 million between the Congressional Black Caucus of Illinois, and I believe Ms. Ammons is also a part of that, that brought that to coalition. But it brings job training, free job training, to Parkland in areas that the median income starting out first year is $50,000. That changes lives immediately. That is one of the things that is going to solve this complex issue that we have with community violence. People have probably heard me say it before, but crime is more of the equation of desperation meets lack of opportunity or lack of alternatives. So giving people the power to build their community on their own terms is exactly what equity looks like. And this program, though in its pilot, and that $1 million sees about 300 people in a year's time. Now, we know that in this population that we have here in Champaign, that we have a lot more than just 300 people that need this job training, right? So, what I propose to all of you, with all of this money that I've heard is coming into the city, that maybe you could possibly match that $1 million. Maybe you could possibly meet with the mayor in Urbana and collaborate to both match that $1 million each. and triple this program so that it has the outreach to be able to affect this community in a positive manner so that we can attack the things that brings the equation of community violence into our lives and into our community. This is what equity looks like. This is what justice looks like. I understand that we have a sign outside of this building bracketing on both corners. I propose that we make it mean something. It's not enough to just have a sign if you don't have policy behind it. It's not enough to have a sign if you don't have funding behind it. It's not enough to have a sign if you don't have alternatives behind it. I propose this to serve the community in a better fashion than we have been. I propose this because the people of Champaign deserve this, because people everywhere deserve this. I know that a lot of you people don't know who I am, but I've lived here for almost a decade. I am one of those people that you probably have crossed paths with dozens of times. I am one of the invisible. I am one of the people that you would walk past. I'm one of the people that may be out there right now asking you for a dollar to ride the bus. So of course, that's not the case. And actually, if you ask me, that should never be the case again. We should never be charging people to ride the bus, honestly. But I'm one of those people, and I advocate for those people. Because it wasn't 2 years ago that I was out here on these streets. I was sleeping at the CU at home shelter that is closed right now. So I implore you to find a way to make these things happen. Because people like me that fall through the cracks need it. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Council comments. All right, vouchers. Okay.
Sorry, I didn't.
Councilmember Beck.
I was waiting to see if someone wanted to go before me, but I will go first. So I have some solemn remarks to make, and there's been a lot that's happened in our community, and today I want to express how full of sorrow I am for our community right now. And I am filled with a profound sadness for all of us. And in the wake of the tragedy that unfolded in the early hours of May 19th that claimed the life of Officer Oberheim and wounded Officer Creel, our community was changed forever. It really was. And it changed me forever. I know that for certain. To all who loved and worked with Officer Oberheim, I fail to find the words that can provide any meaning to how very sorry I am for this loss. And Chris will always be remembered for his dedication. You will always be remembered for your service, Officer Oberheim. It's a debt that we really never can repay. Gun violence has taken away our friends. It's taken away the people that we love, our fathers, our brothers, our sisters, our mothers. Gun violence has taken the lives of public workers across the country. Sanitation workers in Baltimore, transit workers in San Jose, 12 workers in Virginia Beach in City Hall in 2019. And here at home, it's taken the life of Officer Chris Oberheim. Gun violence has taken away our feelings of safety. And it has threatened our unity as a community. We cannot let guns take away anything more from us. We cannot do that. We cannot allow the violence that has plagued our community to claim one more life, not one more. Now is the time for us to unite together, to love one another, and to say that we will find a new way. And so tonight, it is that I once again ask all of you, our community watching, and all of you here, together, we can create new ways. I'm asking you to commit to ending gun violence in our community together. Together, we can create safe workspaces for our workers. we can create safe spaces for our children to play, and we can make a safe place for our community to grow and to thrive. And it is to you, my fellow council members, that I issue this invitation to join in this mission for the lives of our children. Together, we can invest in the community and the programs that will make the difference in our community. And I'll be joining with Moms Demand Action on Friday, this Friday, from 5 to 6:30 in Douglas Park Garden to honor all the victims in our community that have fallen due to gun violence. And I hope that you will join all of us to make your pledge to create something new and to end this violence. Thank you.
Anyone else? Councilmember Pianfetti.
Thank you, Your Honor. It is with deep sympathy that I extend my condolences to the family of Officer Oberheim. Thank you, Amber, and your girls for your sacrifice and for all that Officer Oberheim did to protect our community. Officer Creel, gratitude is not enough for all you have done and all you do for our community in your call to service. Thank you. Thank you both for your bravery and for making split-second decisions, which many of us cannot even fathom, nor would we want to have to make. I was reminded this weekend that the Greeks have several words for courage. Depending on which one you use, gives context and meaning to those words. Askesios means courage when you overcome fear, because you have responsibility or the ability to do something. This past week, I saw many instances of this. The men and women of our Champaign Police Department overcame their own fear to rally around a family and each other in their darkest hours and when they needed each other the most. Chief Cobb, Mayor Finan, City Manager David, Assistant City Managers, so many city staff, too numerous to name, and our other public servants, the fire, EMTs, Metcalf, you all came together. We are surrounded by so much courage and so much bravery and so much ability that sometimes we forget that what's done is hard and challenging work. Sometimes we may even forget to trust each other and in our own abilities. But I believe that through respectful dialogue and discourse, we may move forward in ways that will both empower and protect our community. We don't always have to agree, and in some instances, we become stronger when we share and discuss different perspectives. But I do believe we have to be willing to listen in order to learn and to understand what will be best for all in our community. Again, my sympathies to those who are healing. I share in your grief.
Anyone else? Councilmember Fulmer.
Thank you, Your Honor. I do want to start on a light note and say to my sisters, brothers, and others, happy Pride. I'm very excited. Unfortunately, Your Honor, you kind of stole my line there, but that's all right. On a serious note, I want to start by saying I actually had two sets of remarks prepared for tonight. This isn't the one that I necessarily expected to give, and even as I begin to read this, I'm not quite sure I've made the right decision. But alas, it feels most appropriate. On Wednesday, May 19th, the morning after my third council meeting, I learned of the tragic events that had occurred just a couple of hours before. When I say that nothing could have prepared me for the responsibility we hold on this dais, I mean nothing could have prepared me for the sense of grief, pain, sorrow, sleepless nights, and difficult conversations I've had in the past 2 weeks. But this isn't about me. This is about a grieving community searching for answers and solutions. By no means do I have all the answers to how we move forward to end endemic gun violence in our city. But my call today is to every member of this council and to each member of the public. I have heard and read your appeals for peace and change. I have heard from folks who are angry, upset, struggling to know how to feel. I'm looking at a community broken in half, blaming and hurting one another with vitriol and hate. My neighbors and friends, I might not have all of the solutions, but one thing I do know is that hate is not the answer. And in order to move forward, in order to do the right thing, to honor our community's grieving families, we must work together to find the answers that work for our city. I beg of you to come talk to me, share your ideas, come to Cafe Kopi or Hopscotch. I'll buy you a cup of coffee, probably. And we can imagine the ways that we can heal and repair the pain that we're all feeling. I only have one request, that we both listen to one another with open minds and a willingness to trust one another. Thank you.
Anyone else? Councilmember Kyles.
Words can't not be put together for the family and our community, so I won't try to repeat what my colleagues have already said. But what I will say is that we as a community have been known for our ability, our blessed ability, to be able to come together. Now, I don't expect people to believe what I believe. That's fine, it's okay. But I am thankful for the opportunity to pray. And not just to pray, but to put into work the conversations, to be able to reach across and have the tough conversations, and also the conversations of appreciation to those who serve in front of the scenes and to those who serve behind the scenes. I think that I said this publicly, that a lot of conversations that will be had, some of them will be the best conversations, actually, where that some of the best conversations will be happening face-to-face, and where there are no cameras, where there's no social media, where there's no grasping for a comment or line, where we can be honest with each other. We have a history in this community of getting through tough moments. And to add, I like the comment as far as solutions. I'm not saying that, I'm not committing to the comment, but when you talked about the SWIFT program, I was actually pretty excited, because I believe that programs like that and the ones that are at RPC, a lot of programs go unheard of, and we do need ambassadors that will be able to take those programs so that we can not only shift the mindset, but so that we can also shift the results. When people see change, then they believe in it. There's a lot of things that I want to say, but I'll save that for now, because as you talked about, I go through my stages where I've never felt as I have this year with continuous. I have joy, and then I have sadness. I'm reminded of I asked a person one day, I said, do you know why Jesus wept? And they looked at me, because we were talking about some important stuff. Not that Jesus is important, but I said, he didn't weep because of Lazarus, his friend. He wept because there was an opportunity to change and to work together. And it just went over everybody's head. And so I'm excited to work, to put in that work, and to put in that hard work. Not just in commentary, but also in policy and also physical labor.
Councilmember Gladney.
Thank you. So we are hopefully emerging from a pandemic, but we are still burdened by an epidemic of gun violence, which has been plaguing our community, as we all know, as it has been, unfortunately, several other communities across the state and across the nation. The causes for this are are many, and you know, we have a lot of work to do. I want to express my sadness about the death of Officer Oberheim, and my sadness at the death of everyone who's passed away from violent crime, whose lives were cut short. And in the midst of all this grief and sadness and sorrow, looking ahead, my concern is who will be lost next, who will be maimed. You know, I mean, we have people in the community who just get shot by stray gunfire. They're not even involved in anything. Who will be affected next? And I worry about our citizens. And I worry about our men and women in blue. This needs to stop. Saying that, though, won't stop it. But we have a lot of work to do. And I'm going to seg into something, too, from this, and just note, in case anyone wasn't aware, this is our first in-person meeting in almost 15 months. And, you know, it's on the one hand, it feels good to be back in this format. But I can't help but be a little sad, more than a little sad, when I stop and realize that there are a lot of people no longer here that were here 15 months ago, before all this began. And it's true that people are born and die every day. That's just a fact of life. But it's also a fact of life that, unfortunately, a lot of people die before their time. And we've seen too much of that this past year. So I just want to take a moment and say, those people who didn't make it to now are not forgotten. And going forward, we have to do our best to make sure that there aren't nearly as many of those people. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Bruno.
I'd be remiss if I didn't add my personal condolences to the family and co-workers of Chris Oberheim. Davian Williams and I had a meeting with Chief Cobb on Tuesday, May 18th, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, to talk about solutions to the growing threat to our police officers. And we had a productive hour and a half meeting at the police department with Chief Cobb. Little did I know that 12 hours later at 4 a.m, I was gonna get a phone call that our worst fears had come to pass. And within hours, we all knew how horribly awful it was. We owe a great deal to the men and women who protect our community, and we are eternally grateful to them. And so my sympathy goes out to not only the family of Chris Oberheim, but his extended family, the co-workers, the friends, the people who are grieving over this loss. On the issue of gun violence, it's obviously a national problem of great magnitude right now. We could be more hopeful maybe if this were just a local problem and we could implement solutions that other communities had come up with. But you only need to look around you to see that this is happening all over America. And that it doesn't make me any more hopeful that we're going to be able to make a significant dent in the city of Champaign in the epidemic of gun violence. But like all other communities of well-meaning people across America, we have to start doing whatever we can rolling up our sleeves to try to fix this problem. And I commit that whatever we can do as a city, as a city government, I will be fully supportive of. Not platitudes, but trying to take some actual steps to try to solve this. But it's a daunting problem, as everybody who's looked at it knows. This is not just a matter of arresting our way out of this or somehow making it all go away. It's a deep societal illness that is plaguing America now. And it's sad. It really is. And that sadness, you know, is driven home on a local level on May 19th. So thank you very much. I extend my sympathy.
Anyone else? Councilmember Kyles?
As I see a lot, the reason why I was thankful to pray, because when I first came here, I had no energy, literally. But be encouraged way before this council, before I got on this council. So it wasn't just about me. I live in a neighborhood where people literally, they wouldn't stop at the stop sign. Like, you're supposed to stop at the stop sign, and they would just zoom through. And this council, we're talking about investments, right? So there are structural investments that are necessary, but there are human capital investments that are necessary, right? And so what happened was, I saw, and even though I have my mixed feelings, because when we have to tear communities down to build them up, then there's no sense of attachment, right? The reality, so I got this mixed feeling. But the reality is, one of the positives that came out of it was that you have housing homeowners, this is before I was on council, just homeownership and a whole community that people just like didn't even follow the stop sign, just pew, like that. That investment that we made in that area was powerful. Then so 15 years later, I'm at home, and you know, we talk about firecrackers in January, right? Not really firecrackers. And I go up, and I walk in the community. I just walk over there. And as you begin to engage, like we, not only do we need all of our hope, because there are enough people that don't have hope. There are people that don't believe. If you don't believe, this is something that's impactful. And I didn't come to say this, but if you don't believe you're going to make it to 18, like, there are guys that tell me, I don't think I'm going to make it to 18. So that what that means is that if you don't think you're going to make it to 18, then there are certain things that people who do believe they're going to make it to 18 that you do and you don't do. So then a guy says, I didn't believe that I was going to make it to 21. And I'm like, wow, you're 21? So then I'm starting to think, like, in my thought process, like, dang, you didn't believe that you were going to make it to 18. You didn't think you were going to make it to 21. And then a guy said, man, I was surprised. And this is a guy that I respect. He said, I was surprised that I made it to 25. And so we need not only, like, today we cry, but tomorrow we continue to get up, because the reality was there were days that I felt like giving up. I don't say that a lot. I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll be a philanthropist or something. You know, I thought that God had different plans, right? I'm here today, thank God, right? But the reality is, not only do we need to hope, we need to pull from the examples that work, and we need to just say, we have to make those type of commitments, but we have examples in our community. I live in a community. When I first came to the community, people were like, why did you move over there? And I didn't see anything wrong, because I didn't know the history. It shows examples of progress that we can make when we put the commitments, and we're not afraid to talk to people. So I go into the community, and everybody's like, oh, there were gunshots just that last night. And you go in, and you begin to communicate, you talk. You're like, dang. Like Mr. Pratt, there we go, official, right? One of the things, like, when you start engaging with people, I started talking to the homeless population, right? Because we talk about homelessness, but we really don't know. Like, we don't talk to them. But when we began to talk to people, they began to realize, dang, you're human, I'm human. And for that 1 minute of connection, maybe it's a minute, maybe it's a lifetime, if all of us continue to do it, not just as a city council, but as a community, that shifts the conversation. Me knocking on doors in District 5 was crazy. And it was crazy because I realized that I wasn't a council member. They didn't know me. So I was like, man, I gotta figure this thing out. You know, I mean, brother walking in with a hoodie on in the middle, they're like, council member. But you know what? When we continue to engage, I don't care if you continue to engage and you continue to have the conversations and you continue to not just like the city council, like in the front, I'm talking about those everyday interactions, that does shift the atmosphere. Not only am I confident in that, I've seen the results of that. Talking to people that I know don't like me, I have seen the results in that every single day. And so with that being said, while we grieve, while we, and I'm pumped up, because while we grieve, yes, that's it, that's it, we have to. We got to be committed, because if we don't have hope, goodness gracious, like, if we don't have hope, who has hope? And so there are times that people, you guys, there's a lady, I ain't going to mention, there are just some people that have invested in me when I didn't have hope. And they said, you better get up. And I don't mean to act and carry on like this, but I'm telling you, I'm going to need you to get on up right now so we can go out here and do the work that's necessary. And yeah, yeah. It may be interesting seeing, oh, is that Tom Bruno walking through the hood? No. Yeah, that's Tom Bruno walking through the neighborhood. You did it before, you're gonna do it again, and you're gonna cry today, but you're gonna get up tomorrow and you're gonna put your shoes on and you're gonna do what God called you to do. So I was moved, and now I'm moved to do some work, and I'll be quiet right now.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Anyone else? Councilmember Rodriguez.
I'm not sure I can follow that up, but I'll try. I just wanted to express my condolences, like all the other council members, for the family of Officer Oberheim as well. I have a very interesting history with police. Having a meeting with the chief of police when I was younger was in a different context than it is as of late. You know, when I was younger, that hopelessness that, you know, Councilor Williams just mentioned, that's a very real thing. You know, when you're growing up that way, you don't know anything outside of, you know, whatever blocks that you know. And you just get numb to the things that you see every single day. You hear the gunshots, your parents not there, you know, the dangers lurking around the corner, you just get used to it. The weekend that I moved here to Central Illinois, I stayed at one of my best friend's house, and he lived a couple miles away, walked back home, and turned the corner, and had to duck under police tape. It was snowing, it was December, blood in the snow, murder scene, just like it was an everyday thing. You get numb to those things. So growing up that way, by default, you kind of, you know, when you grow up with nothing, there's just kind of default status where you and the police, they're the law, you're on the outskirts. I don't know why that is the way it is, but it is. But my relationship with police officers changed, and it has evolved as I got older, as I started doing things that were in a positive directions. Those same officers that used to chase me around my hometown with my knucklehead friends would also show up to my house when, you know, there was a domestic disturbance, when my mom and dad were fighting, and they saw what I was going through. So, you know, time passes, they see me going to college, they see me and, you know, they give me the pat on the back, say, hey, you know, we were happy to see that you're in a better place now. And all those times they cut me a break, they knew exactly what I was going through. I also had some very bad interactions with cops where, you know, they were human and they maybe didn't have the best day at that time, and that also shaped the evolution of my relationship with cops. I share that because, you know, that's how I see police officers. I see them as human, and 90% of all my interactions with these human beings has been more than positive. They've been there in times when I couldn't defend my family. They've been there in times when I was scared and I was too young to do anything about it. And the older I got, the more I respected what they had done for me, and the more I strived to do something better. And that's significant because when I saw them, there was a sense of pride that I had for what I was doing for them. I wanted them to see me succeed because I didn't do it for my stepdad. I did it for people like my football coaches, the police officers who were, you know, looking out for me, even though they'd have to kind of come down on me hard sometimes. They'd walk me out of high school in handcuffs. I've sat here in Champaign County Jail facing, you know, an uncertain future a long, long time ago. But I say that, I tell you all these stories because our current situation right now has not evolved. We have to continue evolving. We have to continue this journey. Those same police officers that saw me in a certain light when I was younger, like I wasn't going to end up anywhere, that I helped change that perspective. And what they did for me and my family, it helped me change the perspective for me. This issue of violence, drugs, poverty is a very complicated one, as we've all alluded to. I'm the oldest of four. Me and my youngest brother are the only ones that have not been to prison. To this day, I think my sister is sitting in prison for about 10 years. My other sister, couldn't tell you. Mental health issues, drugs. That's a 50-50 shot. And it was little things like a police officer looking out for me so that I could do what I had to do for my family. The comment about, you know, having to do the things you have to do to make it, I've been there, and I've been there in the presence of police officers who said, just kind of shook their head and said, just get out of here and, you know, straighten yourself out, because we know that you're doing this for a good reason, but it's the wrong thing. So I just have to share those comments because this nation has painted everything in black and white, in some cases literally, and we are more complex than that. We are humans, and my experience with police officers, I actually was going to be a police officer at one point, and because of my interaction with them. So, again, I know things are complicated. I know things are scary. I know things are hard. But I know that there's a larger percentage of the population on this council, in the city, on the police staff that have the best of intentions for everybody. And it's only the outskirts of those things that are messing with our peace right now that we have to address, and I hope that we have the patience and the grace for that.
Thank you. Councilmember Williams.
Good evening. I went back and forth and with myself and wondering if, I mean, not wondering, but what to say. First, I want to say my condolences to Officer Ormeheim's family. His wife and his four daughters. I attended the funeral and found out that Officer Oberheim and myself have the same birthday, October 31st, both born on Halloween, Scorpios. He has daughters. He talked about kissing them on the forehead. I kiss my two daughters on the forehead all the time. There was a connection. I didn't know him personally, but there was a connection that I got with him in that moment through the memories of individuals who are sharing their memory, his memory. My experience with police is it varies. I have one experience with an officer who has been throughout my life, my entire life here in Champaign, Urbana. Football coach, he was just involved, and when you see him in Dare, and all these other things. I say all that to say there is a, when it comes to gun violence, I'm tying this all together, when it comes to gun violence and understanding the perspective of those individuals with the guns, there are two different cultures that we live in, and I feel like sometimes we don't understand it because we don't try to understand. We must reach out to individuals and to figure out what are these things that are plaguing them, because you have to understand there's a internal stress, and sometimes being an African American male, it is extremely hard to strive and to try to be excellent because the environment that you've been placed in through systematic just how things are. But we have to find things, we have to find ways to take on that, reverse that energy so that it is positive instead of negative. The SWIFT program is a great program to do that. Because you can't, if you can do anything, you can't take away doing something with someone's hands, because that gives you a sense of pride, a sense of self-determination, a sense of self-sufficiency. Now my mind doesn't go back, how am I going to make money if I can't get a regular job, so I have to go out and sell drugs? No, you don't have that option anymore, because you can do something with your hands. And I think understanding that perspective, and that we live in a society that it's not fair for some of us. It is not fair for some of us. And it's not, and I'm not the one to try to always push blame, but I mean, understanding how society is today. And it's not just in a city thing, it's a global thing. But I urge us to talk to one another, to get to know one another, to understand each other's perspectives, understand and respect each other's perspectives. We may not agree to something, that's okay. We just don't agree to it. But we sit down and find things. What can we actually agree upon to make things work, to create a sense of unity, to help one another, to just be a strong community. Those are my words. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? So it is, it's clear to me that members of the council, our city organization, our community, our officers, their families are all grieving. I also grieve the tragic loss of life of Chris Oberheim. We are also grateful that Jeff Creel is recovering and thankful for his honorable service. I thank our officers for their service and their families for the support that they provide each day to our officers. My sympathies and prayers are with the Oberheim family, our entire city, and those who serve it. With that, we need vouchers.
Madam Mayor, it may be a little unusual tonight, but I have two sets of vendor payments. So I will move that we approve the vendor payments of May 14th in the amount of $1,517,325.44, and the vendor payments of May 28th in the amount of $2,273,284.79.
Second.
Is there any discussion? Will the clerk please call the roll?
Councilmember Fulmer?
Yes.
Gladney?
Yes.
Enriquez?
Yes.
Kyles?
Yes.
Pianfetti?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Beck?
Yes.
Bruno?
Yes.
Mayor Finan?
Yes, they're both approved.
And Madam Mayor, likewise, I have two different payrolls. I move that we approve the payroll of April 30th, 2021 in the amount of $1,898,978.49, and the payroll of May 14th, 2021 in the amount of $1,795,849.70.
Second.
Is there any discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Councilmember Fulmer?
Yes.
Gladney?
Yes.
Enriquez?
Yes.
Kyles?
Yes.
P. Pianfetti?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Beck?
Yes.
Bruno?
Yes.
Mayor Finan?
Yes, they are both approved. Need a motion to adjourn.
Madam Mayor, I move we adjourn.
Second.
Is there any discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Councilmember Fulmer?
Yes.
Gladney?
Yes.
Enriquez?
Yes.
Kyles?
Yes.
Pianfetti?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Beck?
Yes.
Bruno?
Yes.
Mayor Finan?
Yes, we are adjourned.